Hey everyone, welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe, and this is the show where we dig into the chips, the silicon, and the data center tech that's actually powering the AI revolution. Quick shout out to our sponsors, Limitless AI, helping businesses integrate AI into their workflows, and Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting. All right, we've got a really meaty episode today. We're talking about a major sell-off in AI chip stocks, the so-called Michael Burry bear case making a comeback, and a pretty stunning shift happening in China's AI chip market. Let's get into it, okay? So story one, AI chip stocks took a pretty serious hit in July 2026, and valuation concerns are front and center in the semiconductor sector right now. And look, if you've been following this space for any amount of time, this isn't completely out of nowhere. We've seen this movie before, right? Anytime a sector gets hyped up to astronomical levels, there's eventually a moment where the market kind of steps back and goes, wait, are these numbers actually justified? So what's happening here is that investors are starting to pump the brakes on some of these sky-high valuations that AI chip companies have been riding for the past couple of years. And I want to be really clear, this doesn't necessarily mean the technology is failing or that demand has evaporated. It's more nuanced than that. It's about whether the stock prices accurately reflect where the business fundamentals actually are versus where people hoped they'd be. Think of it this way. Imagine you're buying a house and you pay twice what it's worth because you're convinced the neighborhood is about to blow up in value. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but either way, you overpaid on day one. That's essentially what happens when stocks get priced for perfection. Any little miss, any slowdown in growth, any uncertainty, and suddenly that premium evaporates fast. Now, the semiconductor sector is particularly sensitive to this because chip companies operate in these long investment cycles. You're spending billions of dollars today on fabs, on R&D, on tooling, and the payoff comes years down the road. So when the market gets nervous, it's not just about today's earnings. It's about whether the entire thesis holds up over a multi-year horizon. And what makes this moment interesting is the timing. We're at a point where the first massive wave of AI infrastructure build-out, the one that made NVIDIA a $4 trillion company, is starting to mature. The easy growth, the explosive demand for anything with AI chip on the label, that phase might be giving way to something more selective, more competitive, and honestly, more demanding in terms of actual performance per dollar. So the July 2026 sell-off is really a signal that the market is recalibrating. Not panicking necessarily, but asking harder questions. And those harder questions bring us right into story two, because somebody has been asking hard questions about this sector for a while now. All right, story two, and this one has a really compelling hook. The so-called Michael Burry bear case for AI chips is back, and there's a GPU math problem that just won't go away. Now, if you know who Michael Burry is, he's the investor famous for shorting the housing market before the 2008 financial crisis. The guy literally made a fortune betting that everyone else was wrong. So when people invoke his name in a tech context, it's worth paying attention. The core of the bear case here is essentially this. The math on GPU deployments doesn't add up the way the bulls want it to. And this is where I want to get into the weeds a little bit, because I think this is actually a really important concept for people in the hardware space to understand. Here's the argument. Companies have been buying GPUs, primarily NVIDIA's, at an absolutely staggering pace. We're talking hundreds of thousands of units going into hyperscaler data centers. But the question the bears are asking is, what is the actual return on these investments? How much revenue is each GPU generating? And is that revenue growing fast enough to justify buying even more GPUs? Think of it like opening a fleet of taxis. You buy 100 taxis because you think the ride demand is there. But if people aren't actually taking enough rides to cover the cost of the cars, the gas, the drivers, then buying another 100 taxis isn't going to fix your problem. You've got a utilization issue, not a supply issue. Now, the counterargument, and there's always a counterargument, is that AI workloads are still in relatively early stages. We're not at peak demand. The argument is that the applications being built on top of this infrastructure are still developing, and eventually they'll generate the kind of revenue that justifies the hardware spend. Think about how long it took cloud computing to really generate returns after the initial infrastructure build-out. But here's what makes the GPU math problem particularly sticky. Unlike general-purpose cloud servers where you can pretty flexibly shift workloads around, high-end AI GPUs are expensive, power-hungry, specialized hardware. An H100 cluster sitting at 30% utilization is not a happy investment. And there are real questions about whether some of the current deployments are running at the utilization rates that the business models require. There's also the depreciation angle. These chips don't last forever. Newer architectures come out, you need to upgrade, and the capital expenditure cycle just keeps spinning. So the bears are essentially saying the treadmill is running faster than the revenue can keep up with. And that's the math problem that, as the headline puts it, won't go away. Now, I'm not here to tell you to buy or sell anything. I'm a hardware nerd, not a financial advisor, but from a technology perspective, I think this is a legitimate question that the industry needs to answer. Because if utilization rates don't improve, if AI applications don't generate the revenue to justify the spend, that has real implications for chip demand going forward. And that matters for every company in this ecosystem. Okay, let's pivot to what I think is actually the most geopolitically significant story cluster we've got today. And it's really three stories that all tie together. So I'm going to walk through them as one big picture. NVIDIA's AI chip sales in China have stalled. Local chipmakers like Huawei are taking the lead. NVIDIA has, in their own words, largely conceded China's AI chip market. And on top of all that, NVIDIA AI chip prices have doubled in China following export crackdowns. This is a massive, massive shift, and I want to make sure we really understand what's happening here, because it's not just a business story. It's a hardware story, a geopolitics story, and honestly, a long-term strategy story, all rolled into one. Let's start with the basics. China is one of the largest markets for AI compute in the world. For years, NVIDIA GPUs H100s and their export-compliant variants were the default choice for Chinese tech companies, research institutions, you name it. NVIDIA had an enormous installed base there. Then the US government started tightening export controls. They restricted which chips could be sold to China, specifically targeting high-end compute chips that could be used for military AI applications. NVIDIA tried to adapt by creating compliant versions of their chips, the H800, the A800, chips that were deliberately hobbled to fall under the export thresholds. But even those got restricted in subsequent rounds of controls. So what happens when your supplier can't sell you what you need? You find another supplier. Or, in China's case, you build one. And that's exactly where Huawei comes in. Huawei's Ascend line of AI chips has been growing in capability and in market acceptance. Now, are Ascend chips on par with NVIDIA's latest silicon in terms of raw performance? Honestly, not quite. There are still gaps, particularly in software ecosystem maturity, in memory bandwidth, in some of the interconnect technologies. But here's the thing, they're good enough. And more importantly, they're available. This is such a classic dynamic in the semiconductor industry. The best chip in the world is useless if you can't get it. Availability, supply chain reliability, geopolitical safety. These are now competitive advantages that can outweigh pure performance metrics. That's a huge shift from the way this industry has traditionally worked. And then there's the price angle, NVIDIA chip prices doubling in China after the crackdown. This is basic supply and demand, right? If you restrict supply but demand remains high, prices spike. So the chips that do make it into China through gray market channels or existing inventory, those are getting extraordinarily expensive. We're talking about hardware that was already premium price now potentially out of reach for smaller players. What this does, ironically, is accelerate China's domestic chip development even faster. Because when the alternative is paying double for a chip you might not even be able to get reliably, suddenly investing heavily in homegrown silicon looks a lot more attractive. Huawei, Byron, Cambricon, these companies are getting demand that they simply would not have seen in a world where NVIDIA chips were freely available. And NVIDIA's admission that they've largely conceded the China market is remarkable. This is a company that not long ago was doing a significant chunk of its data center revenue in China. That market is now effectively off the table for their highest-end products. That's not a rounding error. That's a meaningful chunk of the total addressable market. Now, NVIDIA isn't sitting still. They're doubling down in other markets, Southeast Asia, the Middle East, Europe, and obviously continuing to dominate in the US and with hyperscalers globally. But the China situation is a reminder that even the most dominant chip company in the world can't fully control the geopolitical environment it operates in. From a pure hardware perspective, this is fascinating because it's forcing innovation in places that previously relied on imported silicon. The pressure of not having access to the best tools available is actually pushing Chinese engineers and companies to get creative, to build out software stacks, to optimize for the chips they have. That's not nothing. That's how ecosystems get built. Long term, the question is whether Huawei and other Chinese chipmakers can close the performance gap enough to make their chips genuinely competitive on a global stage, not just within China's walled-off ecosystem, but potentially as export products themselves. And if that happens, that's a completely different competitive landscape for NVIDIA and the rest of the Western chip industry. So tying all of today's stories together, you've got a market that's pulling back on valuations, bears raising legitimate questions about whether the GPU math pencils out, and simultaneously the biggest player in the space losing access to a major market while a new competitor rises in its place. This is a sector in a really pivotal moment, and I'll tell you, I find this kind of inflection point genuinely exciting. Not because anyone's losing, but because this is exactly when the most interesting innovation tends to happen. When the pressure is on, when the easy money is gone, That's when you find out what the technology and the companies are really made of. All right, folks, that's going to do it for today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. We covered a lot of ground, the July chip stock sell-off, the GPU math problem the bears keep bringing up, and the fascinating and rapidly evolving situation with NVIDIA and Huawei in China. If you want to dig deeper into any of these stories, check out the link in show notes. We've got sources and additional reading for all of it. The AI Hardware Show, brought to you by Limitless AI and Ago Consulting. If you got value out of today's episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, leave a review if you're feeling generous, and share it with someone who needs to understand what's actually happening in the hardware world. I'll catch you next time.